Night, N-I-G-H-T. The night, the darkness, the cover of night plays a significant part in many of the great stories of the Bible. And the final one, I haven't laid them all out, but the final one is the one I'm going to preach first. Turn to the book of Revelation. And if you're looking for a title, I will give you that in just a moment. Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 23. Revelation 21, 23, reading into chapter 5. And the city, referring to heaven or the New Jerusalem, the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it. For the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. I want to study that phrase at some point too. That became a fascinating phrase as it sort of leaped out at me this week. The lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there. See, there's the hook. There shall be no night there. The gates shall never be closed. They shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Reading into chapter 22, and he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. The night that never shall be. The night that never shall be. The bright and final hope of the Christian faith is that beyond the nights of anxiety, the nights of tears, the nights of fears, beyond the nights of denial, accounting, mysteries, beyond the nights of unprofitable toil and eternal darkness, there rests a place of which God's word says, and there shall be no night there. This is the night that never shall be. Thus, in the midst of all the clouds and darkness and the mysteries and disappointments, we pause and lift our eyes toward the ultimate place where there is no need for candles, neither light of the sun or of the moon. Since the Lord God will give us light. Heaven is indeed a place where night will never be. Let me just give you some outline this morning if you want to write a few sentences down and some scripture references that go with it. It might be helpful. Number one, there will never be a night of darkness in heaven. There will never be a night of darkness in heaven. And when you're reading chapter 21, starting where we did with verse 23 through 27, that for the glory of God has illumined it, and the lamp is the Lamb. Because of the radiance of God, there will never be a night of darkness in heaven. The radiance of God illumines heaven. Verse 23 says, the glory of God has illumined it. In chapter 22, verse 5, and there shall no longer be any night. They shall not have need of light of the lamp or light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them. God is the light, the radiance that gives light to heaven. The radiance of God eliminates all fear from fear of harm. In the dark, we become scared. In the light, we are relieved. We are comforted by light. And so, verse 25, and in the daytime, for there shall be no night there. Nobody's going to be afraid of the dark in heaven, because it will never be dark in heaven. The gates along the walls of ancient cities were shut at night and in times of danger. The cities usually had walls around them, and there were places for gates in those walls for people to enter and leave. And in the face of danger or invasion, the doors were shut, the gates were shut. And so the gates along the walls of these ancient cities were shut at night. People could sleep in relative peace, knowing that there was safety. Not only were there walls, but there were gates that protected them, these ancient cities. This would keep out the enemy and those who would destroy. Jesus tells John that in heaven, because of the radiance of God, there will never be a night of darkness or fear of harm that will come to the people there. And thus the gates, it shall not be shut. The gates won't be shut in heaven. There's no harm. There's no danger. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's no darkness. Because of the redemption of man, there will never be a night of darkness in heaven. In chapter 21 and verse 24, the nation shall walk by its light. And verse 27, nothing unclean, no one that practices abomination or lying will enter into that place. No sin, No sin will be allowed to enter in. There will never be a night of darkness in heaven because there will be no reason for darkness. Those things represent darkness. They represent evil. They represent harm. Men who will be there are redeemed men, redeemed humanity, who no longer love darkness. The New Testament tells us that men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil, the scripture says. But men will no longer love darkness. Redeemed people do not love darkness, but rather they want light, they want truth, they want openness. They shall walk in the light. The redemption of man is received from God's grace. God's grace. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. And Ephesians 2:8 tells us, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast." The redemption of man is revealed by the light. 21, 24. The nations shall walk in its light. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought by God. John chapter 3, verse 21. Just five verses below John 3:16 is John 3:21. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:9. So the redemption of man is revealed by God's light. The redemption of man is recorded in God's book. The scripture says that only those who enter into heaven, whose names, quote, are written in the Lamb's book of life, Revelation 21, 27. Why is it called the Lamb's Book of Life? Because it is by the blood of the Lamb of God that our names are indelibly written on the record of eternal life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Your name, my name, written there because of the blood of Christ. He died for us. The redemption of man, the radiance of God, the light of heaven. Number two, there will never be a night of death in heaven. Never be a night of death. There are no funerals in heaven. There are no graves in heaven. There are no mausoleums in heaven. There's no death. There will never be a night of death. Revelation 21, 4. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. No death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. For those first things are passed away. Revelation 21, 4. Passed away. In chapter 22, showed me a river of water of life clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Excuse me. There will never be a night when the death angel will pass over heaven as he passed over Egypt that night so many thousands of years ago. The dawn of the day will reveal the lifeless bodies of those that we loved. Never going to happen. No death angel will pass through heaven. There are three basic necessities for life that we have to experience. Three basic necessities for death never to be experienced. Number one is water. Number two is food. And number three is health. Now listen to the scriptures. The picture in these two verses symbolizes the provisions of all three. The water of life, the perpetual fruit of the tree of life, bears its fruit every month, 12 times a year. And the leaves, even the leaves, which provide healing, health. So the question is asked, how can man live eternally? And the answer is found in these verses. Because of the provision of water, there will never be a night of death in heaven. 22:21, he showed me a river of the water of life. This is not ordinary water. It is called the water of life. Coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Where does this water come from? Doesn't come from a cloud. It flows from the throne of God. It flows from life himself, God. Now, I don't know why we have to have water in heaven. I don't know why we have to have fruit in heaven. Do you understand all of that? I don't. But I'm reading you what the scripture says. It's not going to be like here on earth. Yet he uses symbols that we understand. Fruit, water, bread, leaves. There are three basic things necessary for death never to be experienced. Water, food, health. Do we see those in this passage? Yes. The picture in these two verses symbolizes the provision of all three of these things. The water of life, the perpetual fruit of the tree of life, bears its fruit every month, every month, every month. Why does he tell us it does it every month? When you're in heaven, you're beyond time. You're not marking a calendar. And yet he tells us this tree bears its fruit every month. Amazing. So you have the water of life, you have the perpetual fruit of the tree of life, And the leaves of the tree provide healing power for the nations. That's health. That's health. So how can man live eternally? And the answer is found in these verses. Because of the provision of water, there will never be a night in heaven. First verse of chapter 22, he showed me a river of the water of life. Not the Wabash, not the Mississippi, not the Amazon. This is the water of life. Clear as crystal. Where does it come from? From the throne of God. No more expressive symbol of eternal life could be imagined than that of a flowing river with its waters shining brightly and a source that's inexhaustible. It's coming from the throne. It's coming where God is. There will always be a flowing supply. It's stream full. While on either side of that river are the trees, the tree of life, blooms with abundant fruit every month. This water quenches spiritual thirst forever. This is a river of water. It's not a reservoir that can be replenished, but rather a river that eternally flows because the source is eternal from God's throne. In John chapter 4, we preached there several months ago, preached several messages on the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. She had to come there every day and get water. She had to come to that well every day and get water. Everybody in the town did. Now, Jacob was one of their famous ancestors. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, if you want to have a big three, there's the big three. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet, the well here at Sychar, they got thirsty again. They had to come back the next day and get some more fresh water. So in John 4, we read of an experience of this woman who has probably throughout her life drunk daily from Jacob's well. But she has to return. She has to come back. She probably had drunk deeply from the wells of sinful indulgence in her life. But at last discovered that too failed. Failed to quench her inner thirst. Failed to make a change in her life. And now, meeting this man that told her everything that she ever did, she experienced a new provision. She experienced the living water that Jesus had to give her. He said, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Because of the production of food, there'll never be another night of death in heaven. Verse 2. The leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. The picture painted here is that of a river bordered with trees on either side. bearing abundant fruit. This food sustains life, for it's called the tree of life. Unlike the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which brought forth death in the Garden of Eden, this tree sustains life in the paradise of heaven. This food is abundantly provided for all, for it bears 12 manner of fruits and yields the fruit every month. Didn't have to worry about the supply. Didn't have to worry about running out. It's there every month, every month, every month. Constantly. God's supply. Constantly. Abundantly provided. This reference to 12 manner of fruits is a symbolic way of speaking of an abundant supply. An abundant supply of food for all. No worry about what you're going to have for dinner tonight or tomorrow or 100 years from now. Always going to be supplied. None will ever want spiritual food in heaven, for the harvest is every month. Hundreds of years before, by the way, if you want to take the time to look it up, in Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel has several verses that picture exactly where we are right here in Revelation 21 and 22. In the garden, the trees, the water, the leaves, the fruit. Ezekiel, in one of his visions, saw this way ahead of time. And because of the prevention of disease, there will never be a night of heaven, a night of death in heaven. The leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. This is an interesting word, this word healing. It's an old word. It's an obsolete word to us. But one that we find in old English literature. I have two dictionaries that came out of the 20th century, and it's not in either one of those. But it's the word health, health, and add ing. Healthing. Healthing means preventing sickness, whereas healing may mean a restoration to health. The idea, therefore, is that in the city of God, there will be provision made for the continuation of perfect health. Not as you feel bad, you're going to feel better, or you're sick and you're going to get well. No, it perpetuates perfect health. Healthing. And the truth, this truth is foreseen in Ezekiel 47 and verse 12. Write it down, look it up. Ezekiel 47, 12. Disease is barred from heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 4. No longer death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain. All this is passed away, it says. Disease results from sin. Back to the Garden of Eden. Disease results from sin. And since there is no sin in heaven, there is no disease in heaven. Thirdly, there will never be a night of damnation in heaven. No curse. chapter 22, verses 3, 4, and 5, there will no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. God has got our name. He's put his name on us. That's what it's saying. No curse in the garden, or no curse in heaven as there was in the garden of Eden. Because of the protection of God, there will never be a night of damnation in heaven. No more curse. But the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb shall be in it. Verse 3. God's presence assures his protection, for the Lamb of God shall be in it. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Isaiah 43, 2. God's promise asserts his protection. His protection. I will preserve thee, Isaiah 49:8. I will preserve thee to inherit the desolate heritages. Our Savior said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. John 5, 24. God's power provides his protection. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Exodus 15, 6. God's power in the exodus of the Jewish nation headed to the promised land. Because of the performance of the saints, there will never be a night of damnation in heaven, for his servants shall serve him. Not just part-time, not just when they feel like it, but they will consistently and perpetually serve him. The concentration is on serving God. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:1. The performance of the saints, they continually perform the deeds for which they were redeemed, the work that they were assigned as a blessing from God throughout eternity. No rebellion of man against God in heaven. They are redeemed and they are serving. No curse. No curse. The performance of salvation is evidenced by the intimacy of their communion with him. They shall see his face. Revelation 22 and verse 4. They shall see his face. Won't that be a glorious thing? To look upon his face, to see him, to see him. Having waited nearly 2,000 years, most of Christendom, all but those 33 years in which he was here on earth, are still waiting to see his face. but we shall see him. Never a night of damnation, because he will be the light. He will be the focus of our life, of our service, of our worship, of our praise, continually. The permanence of our salvation is evidenced by the intimacy of our communion with him. There's a correlation between that permanent relationship and our worship, our fellowship. Implies the intimacy of personal fellowship, which Paul anticipated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 13, I believe it is. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. The permanence of salvation is confirmed by the identification of divine ownership. Now, let me say that again. The permanence of our salvation is confirmed by the identification of divine ownership. What is that? In the passage, what is that final confirmation of divine ownership? His name on our forehead. I hesitate to make an analogy, but it's like putting a brand on a calf. And when that rancher's brand is burnt into the hide and skin of that animal belongs to him. We belong to him. We belong to him. We will have his name in our forehead. So this signifies how entirely the redeemed belong to him who has redeemed them. They are his own, and so they are identified. No one else can ever claim a child of God. There's a poem, a brief poem, that I want to close with this morning. It's simply entitled, There Is No Night in Heaven. There is no night in heaven. The Lamb of God is there. There is no time of sorrow, nor is there dark despair. The gates of it shall not be shut, though it be day or night. The light of God removes all fear and thoughts that conjure fright. See, we're afraid of the dark. Turn on the light, the fear goes away. There is no death in heaven. The waters and the tree provide for every Christian a life eternally. The light of heaven brightly shines, inviting every man to enter through the door of faith and gain the promised land. The light of heaven brightly shines, inviting every man to enter through the door of faith and gain the promised land. Father, we ask your blessing upon the hearing of the word of God. There are things that we don't understand. How can that be? And yet you pull back the curtain and let us have a glimpse through your word and through our imagination what it might be like one day to live in your eternal presence and to be with you eternally. Father, we pray that you would save any soul that hears the message, that hears the word of God. May the Holy Spirit stir their hearts and bring them to that surrender of faith to the Lordship and Saviorhood of our Savior Jesus. For we pray it in his name. Amen.